God said, I cannot show you at the bottom of the hill my glory. You've got to come up into my presence, and then I'll show you my glory.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Today's message is entitled, There's Glory on the Inside. This message was taken from a recent service here at Pace Assembly. Let's get into the message today with Pastor Rogers.
People wanted to be in the know. They wanted to be in the front, but they felt that it was through their knowledge, Gnosticism, through their knowledge, through their education, that they would be able to acquire a relationship with the Lord. And that was directly against the teaching, of course, of Scripture, the Apostle Paul, Jesus teaching himself. Gnosticism, then, in a nutshell, distorted the Christian theology, twisted the biblical truths. And listen carefully to this. I know sometimes when we read the Word of God, we feel like, well, that was back then. But Gnosticism is alive and well today. Gnosticism in Colossae sought to reduce the preeminence and the deity of Jesus Christ. Listen. To the degree that he was on the same level as every other god. And I came to tell you, he's not one of many. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Paul warned them about this because they felt like that the universe out there was certainly God made, but he couldn't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, as the scripture says. He's not one to have a relationship with. And the only way in Colossae as the Gnostics and the Jews got together was, if you're part of our group and you have knowledge and intelligence, then you can see these things that we see in Gnosticism. The most dangerous element of this particular teaching was the depreciation. There was multiple. I don't have time to go into them today. But there was multiple different thoughts that were completely unbiblical. But the one that stood out as the most dangerous was to depreciate the deity of Jesus Christ. Even today, my friend, people are in that same mindset. Where did it start? Well, it started all the way back in the garden, where Adam and Eve wore the glory. They literally wore the glory of God, clothed in the Shekinah light of God, manifested by God placing them a covering, the manifestation of the glory of God, and they were placed into the perfect environment called Eden. Eden is not a geographical location. It is an environment. It is a spot on earth, as it's defined, as the place where the presence and the glory of God is manifest. They enjoyed fellowship together in the garden with God. They walked with God in the cool of the day. Listen, they didn't sing songs in worship to God. They didn't have any prayer meetings. They didn't take communion. They didn't go through any of the calisthenics of religion. They had close communion with God every day of their life because they were clothed in the light and the glory of God was upon them, and they enjoyed fellowship as long as God said, you don't eat of that tree. The story, of course, you're well aware of. They ate of the tree because Satan was after something. Lucifer, fallen from heaven, was after something, and he discovered, if I can tempt them now, then in that one man, Adam, the entirety of all mankind will fall. Satan was after the glory. He didn't care that God came and walked with them in the cool of the day. He wanted to strip from them the glory, the image of God himself that was clouding and surrounding their lives, because the scripture says that when they partook of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, they lost the glory. The light that was surrounding them were gone, and they then understood, looking at themselves, that they were naked and ashamed. They hid themselves, the Bible said. Satan was after the glory. Satan is after the glory in anybody's life. The glory of God is nothing more or less than the preeminence and the power of the anointed Christ, Jesus. Christ is not his last name. Christ is the anointed description, the description of Jesus as the anointed one. So when man was placed in the garden to rule over the fish and the fowl, and God made them to rule and manage the planet, he created Adam, and all of us were in Adam, and he built into us the nature of God himself. Let us make man in our likeness and in our image. He wasn't talking about our physical features or our skin color. He was talking about, let us make man in the character, the attributes, the attitude, the nature of God. He exclusively put that and deposited that as glory on the inside of every person. When sin came in, it separated us from the glory. It separated us. We lost the glory. And the description comes in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The next time you find somebody in Scripture that is actually looking or seeking for the glory, it is the man Moses, who, when he is down at the bottom of Mount Sinai, he said, God, show me your glory. I don't want to just be in your presence. I want to see you. And God said, I cannot show you at the bottom of the hill my glory. You've got to come up into my presence. And then I'll show you my glory. I'm gonna try that on again. I cannot give you my glory. You can't have my presence without my glory, and you can't have my glory without my presence. So the Bible says that God caused a bush to light on fire that wasn't consumed, and it captured the attention of Moses. God help us to have churches that are burning bushes in this hour that captures the attention of a lost and dying world, and even Christians who come week after week, but they don't see nothing but a little bush. They don't see no fire. All they smell is smoke. The devil is a liar. I came to experience the glory of God, and if it means I have got to travel from where I am to where God is, no matter what, I'm willing to set it aside like Moses did to see this great sight that's up on the mountain. The Bible said when he arrived up there, God brought him near to him, and Moses was so intrigued, so desiring to see the glory of God. He said, show me your glory. And God said, I can't show you everything. It'll kill you. That's the reason why God had to reduce Jesus Christ to a seed to be implanted inside of the virgin womb of Mary. Otherwise, her physical body would have exploded by the glory of God in Jesus Christ. So he reduces it down. Come on, somebody. He transforms it so that we can be able to deal with it. And some of you this morning have sensed the presence of God, but I came to tell you there's more than just being in his presence. There is his glory that is yet to be seen and manifest. What do we mean by glory? In the scripture, it is the word kabod. Kabod. For all of my staff, it wasn't kebab, it was kabod. It is the word kabod. It means glory. Some 200 times in the scripture, in the Old Testament, the word kabod is used. It means weighty, it means heavy, it means fullness. Glory is ascribed to someone of great high importance, someone who has a positive and lofty reputation. Glory, and the word kabod is used to describe, listen carefully to me, the visible, tangible manifestation of God. It is where God reveals himself. There will be people that will come to church here and tune in online that will sense the presence of God in the room. But because they're spiritually not sensitive or passionate or hungry to go any further than where they are, they won't see the glory. They'll come in and go out the same way. Stay with me, y'all. If you're writing some things down, there's several things you can know about the glory. One is that God created everything with glory in it. Revelation 4:15-11 says, thou art holy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Secondly, the glory of God rests on everything he created. In other words, it's waiting to yet be manifest in the earth what is already done in heaven. Let me make it plain. Everything has glory in it. The fish has glory in them. God put the glory in the dog and in the cat and in the trees and in the moon and sun and stars. Everything has its own glory. It is the reflection of the glory of God that is put inside of them. But man, God placed his glory, himself, inside of mankind in the beginning. And sin has separated that glory. And the devil don't want you to arrive at the glory. He don't care if you come to church and get in God's presence. What he don't want you to do is leave having seen the Lord for yourself. The revealing manifest glory of God. He doesn't care if they gather in arenas and everybody that was in wheelchairs and everybody that was blind and everybody that is sin-filled and all that. They come in, sing some songs, play a few tunes, hear a little preaching, maybe a little exhortation, and get up and go out the same way. It is not God's intention for you to come into his presence and leave the same way. There is glory that is waiting on the inside for every believer that's hungry enough to do something about it. God created everything to manifest his unique glory through it. That means this, that God put the glory in everything. And unless that glory is revealed, all you are is in the presence of a bird. But the glory of the bird is to fly. I mean, otherwise you're a chicken. The glory of the fish is to swim. Take the fish out of his environment that God created him to have purpose and glory in. Come on, somebody. And you watch that fish die because he's not created to be in that environment. When the stars fall from the skies, they call them falling stars, asteroids, and they burn up and burn out as they come out and they are removed. I believe God, who knows every star by name, takes that one off the list, and if he wants another one, he flings it up in there so that the glory of God every night, the glory of the moon is the brightness of that moon. The glory of the stars is twinkling up there, and you think you see their glory just by looking up and you see some twinkling, but they're telling me by NASA and everybody else that behind all of the atmosphere that you and I can see with the naked eye, if you'll get a telescope, there are galaxies and solar systems and the glory that is behind all of that and you have not seen. This is what the scripture says: eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. But I can tell you, the Bible says, but it is revealed unto us by his Spirit. Are you with me this morning? God manifests that. So the bird's glory is to fly. The fish's glory is to swim. God doesn't add swim to the fish after the fish is already created. It's inside of him. It's innate for him to get in the water. Pull him out, he dies. The same is said for every man and woman, boy and girl in this room. If we are removed from the environment that God has established us to be in, to nurture, to grow, the right environment for us to be able to thrive in, that is the glory and the presence of God, then we too will die. Come on, somebody. Let me give you a few things here. God gets the glory when he manifests through his creation. In other words, we are created to display the glory of God as we live in the right environment and we maintain the right relationship with God. That's the reason why I can't get too many amens out of here. Because the environment that you've been in has been listening to everything else out there in that world for 6 days. And some of you are watching Facebook right now because you're bored, because we are in a society that won't hold its attention on the things of God very, very long. I'm going to preach the way I feel like preaching this morning. And because we got to thumb through and find out what somebody's saying about us, or maybe even, as I've heard, as they're watching on the camera, some of you watching Netflix while I'm preaching. But I got news for you. Whatever you put in is what you're going to get out. And you're wondering why your spiritual life is drying up and you have no power. It's because you've stepped out of the environment of his presence and you don't have the right relationship with it. Because whatever God put inside of you only works when it's in the presence and in the environment of God. Come on, somebody.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.